shine, little Uber, glimmer, glimmer, lead us.
Well, again, happy Tuesday, and thanks for sticking with us after Local Motion. This is As the Worm Turns on KVNF. I'm DJ Peggy Soup, and I am joined this evening with the lovely Miss DJ Muffin, a.k.a. Willie Moore, who is just an absolute delight on and off the air. And this is a call-in show, so if you'd like to join in on our little conversation dialogues or have questions or something to add to it, please call in at 970-527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now. Hello, and thank you for coming on the air with me.
Wow, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm excited.
It's such a great time of year to we'll share all the nuances of what we used to do and go, oh my gosh, yeah, I used to love doing that in the wintertime. Or get really excited about, oh my gosh, I just started doing this really new thing, which is really fun too. And you definitely brought in the, because I just started again going through different kitchen witcheries, bringing back old techniques that I've used and really trying to start enjoying the frigid cold outside here in town in Pannonia without the snow, which is very upsetting to me. If it were cold and, you know, 3 feet of snow, I'd be like, all right, it's
winter. A lot of
winter.
People feel that way. We did get a lot of sun today, though.
We got a lot of sun, and it was absolutely beautiful weather to get out and about in. And the food that comes to mind, especially because we just came off of holiday season and solstice, dark night, and coming into the evolution of the new year coming in. And so everyone has already been talking about New Year's resolutions.
Indeed.
Food they're going to start eating, food they're going to stop eating. And I just want to, you know, go on the record that everything's great in moderation.
Exactly.
And I love eating and I love food. And I personally am doing the, starting with the dark night, solstice, root chakra cultivation, starting on, you know, ground level roots, real basic warming foods. And I think a lot of people are after the big yeah. Yule log burning and
after all the prime rib and the, yeah, I was just talking to a good friend of mine today. I was sharing with him a recipe. And for those of you who don't know me well, I am a prolific home chef. And I was sharing with him this beautiful vegan North African stew that I made today and how excited about it I was. And he said, God, I know. It's just, he's like, everybody I know just wants to eat. You're not inclined. You're not looking for a burger right now after Christmas.
It's
Thanksgiving.
So true. It's so true. I mean, even like the heaviest thing I think, or I did have a little cheese on my homemade tuna salad melt. And it was pepper jack because I still want the spicy. I want the warming.
For sure.
And when I came in, because the temperature drops that so much faster right now. Like it hits 5 o'clock and instead of the sun being down at 5, the temperature plummets. And maybe it's me that is just making that up.
No, I think you're spot on. I think that's why everyone's in bed by 8 o'clock.
Right, at least snuggling. Mm-hmm. At least snuggling in with a book or a movie. Hot tea is big on my intake right now. Mm. Is lots of teas.
Or that beautiful, what are they? There's a bunch of different names for it, but it's coconut milk, turmeric, and honey. And
oh, yes.
Like, that is just...
so
one of my
yummy
faves. Although, you know, if you're orienting around Ayurveda, coconut milk falls to the wayside this time of year.
Mm. For me, anything warm, slightly sweet, soothing on the digestive is great. You also, and if you do not know, Willie, that she also is not only a phenomenal creative, you put it so, so very underrated for me. I'm like, she's magic in the kitchen, people. It's just crazy that it's just delicious, and the combinations that you do pull out are so delightful and fitting. And in the past, not very long ago past, you were doing a lot of yoga instruction and gift classes. And as I think everybody's catching on, I'm really big into the gift classes and and trading even recipes. For me, I'm like, if we you want to try a recipe for a recipe,
oh, totally.
You want to do this and I'll do that. And it's really great that way. And so, especially this time of year, and we were talking before we went on air that you took the last several months off to become the student again.
Mm.
And I think that that's so crucial that we do take those moments, whether it's from kitchen witching and cooking or gardening or yoga instruction or all the outward energies, and sometimes just take that break and bring it in to go, hey, wow, I want to get better at this. So I want to hear more of
totally.
What's going on.
And just orienting back to the original reason why you were ever so in love with, whether it's a practice or it's often you see chefs, right? They get sort of disillusioned with their work because the artistry and the passion that drew them there initially has evaporated and they're left with work. And I think you see that with yoga teachers as well. You know, they sort of want, you know, their practice becomes that when they teach or and having done both working as a chef and as a yoga teacher professionally, I can say as you say, it's so crucial, and for me anyway, to kind of circle back to where I'm not teaching, to where I'm not cooking for as a job, and then you can really come back to the whole reason why you loved it so much in the first place. And then when you show up to teach a class or to, I don't know if I'll cook professionally again in the future, but when I when I have a big dinner party or something, then that stress isn't necessarily there. You really have nothing but love and appreciation for that practice or that food to share with people.
Right. I think that for a lot of people is reflected in the holiday time when you're inviting family and friends from all around, not only sometimes just town, but sometimes across state or across the country to come in. And it's almost like that fun time to go, ooh, I'm going to pull out the best of the best.
Totally.
Which is super fun. And so when exploring, I mean, a vegan soup from South Africa.
North Africa. I don't, you know.
Is it from Ethiopia? Is that what you said?
No.
No, just like I'm pulling stuff out of my head now. I'm like, where did you say you were doing it from? So what is the base then for your soup?
So this was inspired by a recent article in the Times, which is they have an incredible like recipes and food section that I find totally inspiring. So I was reading it this morning, and that's where, you know, when you read something and you're like, oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And like we were talking about earlier, just a desire to have something that isn't laden with meat and dairy.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I was like, and it's so warming. So the foundation for this soup is a tomato paste and roasted diced tomatoes. And then, of course, fresh ginger, cumin, turmeric, let's see, a little bit of cayenne, some jalapenos, and it's good. You'll have to try some after
super
this show.
Warming, super, super warming. Mm-hmm. And for me, when people are like, oh, I've got to have that recipe.
I know.
That's a tricky one for me because
really?
My entire family, from my grandmothers on both sides of my family to my mother, it's about this much. It's about two or three pinches or a small handful. And people are like, your size hand or my size hand? And I'm like, oh, wow. Leah and I were talking about that and having to really sit down sometimes and figure out your measurements on that.
Oof, that's rough. I don't know. Yeah.
So are you an avid follow the recipe?
No. No, I can't say that I am. Right. And of course, yeah, when you're sort of doing like a chopped situation where mm-hmm. you've got, you know, a banana, some mayonnaise and a jalapeno, then what are you going to make with it or whatever? And then you make something brilliant and it's not going to be recreated.
Right.
And I find I was just talking to a good friend about this, but she orients around recipes almost exclusively because she feels inhibited by her knowledge about cooking, her own experience, which is ironic because she's an incredible farmer, you know, and lives here in the valley. It's like, how can you grow it and not know how to cook it? But I think that is it's such a pleasure when you get to a point in cooking, too, where you don't necessarily orient around a recipe entirely. Mm-hmm. When you can feel free to mix it up or to change things out or and I think a lot of people do that on some level.
Right.
But you can when you really hit it out of the park and you start doing that and you're right. There's not that inhibition, that fear of screwing it up, you know, right. which I think you see with a lot of kind of newer cooks or people who really want to branch out and make beautiful food without relying on a cookbook exclusively mm-hmm. or whatever.
Right.
But that's been, I mean, I love, yeah, cooking without a recipe. And so often I couldn't tell you, but I am so emphatic about the quality of the ingredients, which is something that my grandmother taught my mother, and my mother imparted that to me, which is if you have beautiful food to start with, you can almost, it's hard to go wrong, right?
It's so true. And it's so true.
So when I describe something that I've made for somebody, mm-hmm. I'll just say, and there's this, and I'll say, this is this beautiful organic garlic that my friend Molly grew, and these are carrots from Lance, and it's such a pleasure to eat it, to talk about it, to fix it. I mean, I think that's why I even have – so I've lasted this long in this valley is because the food just blew me away the moment I got here.
And that is one of the – I think what's such a beautiful part of where Azorm Turns gets to go.
Yeah.
Especially in the wintertime when everyone's like, all right, so I sorted my seeds and I've got my fruit cellar. Okay. And I've got squash and carrots. Garlic, onions, and you're like, yes, you have so much.
You're
That's awesome.
Stoked.
I'm stoked and set. And then it's people, I think, start rambling with, okay, so how many ways can I make squash? Well, let me tell you something. A lot.
Like a million.
A million different ways for just squash. And because when I thought of like your African vegan soup, I immediately went to, oh, wow, if I took an acorn or a butternut squash mm-hmm. and, like, steamed that up, onions, garlic.
Totes.
You know.
Yeah.
And then went from there and used the same cumin, coriander. I would throw fennel in it.
Would you?
Oh, yeah.
There's plenty of, there's, like, fresh cilantro and there's coriander, which has sort of
nice.
Cooling.
Yeah.
You're not always behind fennel. I don't know.
Fennel's a tricky one. Fennel's right up there with the – all right, there's – so I have to be – I'm confessing on air. There are a couple of things that I find sort of tricky to grow, and I don't know what it is. Cilantro's really tricky for me to grow, although parsley, again, people are going to hear it. And I'm wondering if somebody's going to call and go, will you stop talking about how your yard is taken over by arugula and parsley? And I can't because it comes up every show. And so parsley, I have no problem with.
Yeah, it's pretty hardy. Right?
Super hardy. I've never had to plant. I planted it once 5 or 6 years ago. Never had to do it again.
And that's what I rely on because my agricultural skills are.
Because I get super busy or I'm like, oh, I'm going to do that. And I have this lovely pre-seed bed of all these plants I did. And then either I forget to water them. And like 3/4 are like in the hot house in the, I'm like, oh, babies, I'm so sorry. Mama got really busy. But cilantro is tricky for me. And fennel, which is a gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous, celery looking plant. And it's just super beautiful. And I love cooking with the fresh fennel bulb. And the seeds are fantastic. If I can actually get one to go all the way to seed, I feel like a rock star that season. And I save them. Because then it's like grinding. And it goes great for different Ayurvedic cleanses where you're like throwing in whole cumin and coriander seeds and your fennel and your steaming and your boiling. And then you add your luscious different grains. And then you're like, ooh, mung beans, lentils, what? All of a sudden, lentils sound good.
Yeah, I know. I know, that's, you really come full circle when you come back to loving lentils. So like,
it's so true.
Yeah, there's so many ways to cook them blandly as well. And then,
and undercooked, which has always been the one that vexes me. And for years I'd go, no more lentils. Oh. There's a,
this seems like a, as the worm turns, factoid. If you put a stick of kombu, which is that seaweed, dry seaweed you can get at the health food store, in with beans, it cooks them faster to soften them up a little bit. And you can use that for lentils as well, mung beans.
I love it.
But as a nice kind of like base, like a little bit hearty umami flavor. It's nice. Yeah.
And different kind of seaweeds also help you create that vegetable brothy base, which I always really appreciate it getting a little, not mucilage-y, but because that can get weird. I'm not
that
saying it doesn't.
Really appetizing. Thank
I know,
you.
Right? It happens. It happens. I'm talking about purslane. It's a lovely additive on top of salads, a beautiful weed. If you let them get too large, they get a little more tangy than
people
you want.
People are never going to want to cook again after this show.
No, they're going to go, oh, this is a creative, classy group of ladies. Look at all their ideas. This is fantastic. You are listening to beautiful DJ Muffin and DJ Peggy Soup on As the Worm Turns call-in show. What do you think about all these beautiful additions and possibilities for our cold evenings and dinner ideas? Let us know, 970-527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now.
Yeah, I would be so curious to hear if people have suggestions or great recipes for something similar to the stew that we've been talking about now for the last 20 minutes. But that's hearty and has this warmth and this whole experience. Oh, I forgot to mention that the soup has peanut butter in it too, which is why it makes it much – yeah, there we go.
See, there you have it, because all of a sudden I was like, huh, this sounds not very stew-like. Sounds and very like soup, but now all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I
crucial.
See that.
You know. But yeah, and there's, I'm thinking of this beautiful blended like lentil soup that I found on Serious Eats, which is another great website. But those, just something similar where you get warm, you get full, but without kind of going overboard.
We have a caller, Travis in Paonia is on the line. Hello, Travis.
Why, hello.
Nice to hear from you.
You guys are just double the muffin, double the cuteness.
Why, thank you, Travis. Thank
I'm
you.
Loving everything about everything you guys have to say. It's just incredible.
Oh, well, thank you so much. What do you think about the hearty stew with peanut butter in it? And is there a favorite hearty wintertime meal that you love?
The peanut butter is questionable. I've never had that, but I would love to try.
I'll stop by and bring some over.
Perfect. It's that easy, folks. We love to feed you both, intellectually and in the tum-tum.
So I have someone who would like to say hello and love to just tell you about your program.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Hello.
Why, hello.
Oh, is that the Curbster?
Is this Miss Kirby?
Travis didn't answer your second question. I would say that my favorite winter time stew beverage thing is curried lentils.
Mm. See? It's coming full circle with loving the lentil.
Totally.
It really is. I don't think
they're the best bean, no soak.
Yeah, it's true.
It is. You can do so many things with it. Lentil loaf was very big. Instead of a meatloaf, I was.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking it's similar to like sort of like tempeh.
Yeah.
Texture ish.
Well, yeah.
Kind of.
How fun. Well, thank you, Travis, for your compliments. And thank you, Kirby, for answering the second part of our question this evening on curried lentils. Mm-hmm. It's a very nice, warming, cozy wintertime or cold time food.
And Kirby and I spent, we happened to be in Indonesia around this time last year, and our like main food with our friend Luke was summer rolls. That was our wintertime food. I don't know if you remember that, Kirby.
I do. The only thing he could eat was curry anything.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. It's not hard to be a vegan or eat raw in Bali, though, I'll tell you that much. They really got that on lock.
They got that locked down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you again for calling in. Expect a beautiful visit from DJ Muffin, and I'd love to have you come on the air with me sometime, Kirby, and share some of your kitchen witching.
Sounds like a great idea.
Perfect. I'll give you a holler about it.
See you later.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Guys.
And that's how it's done, folks. Give us a call. We love it.
Even if you're our friends.
Even if you're our friends and just complimenting us, that's great.
We don't mind.
We don't mind at all. And so, yeah, I was a vegetarian for 14 years and was very lucky to have a very creative partner in the kitchen. And a book that comes into mind is The Broccoli Forest. If there's a time that you want to check out different vegetarian recipes, that's an excellent book. Again, that's The Broccoli Forest. And I think in there it might be possibly the lentil loaf. And you can make a vegetarian and vegan options with the patties or an actual loaf. And it's a great time of year, especially like you said, that we're coming off of such a heavy celebratory month.
I'm ready to stop that. Yeah. I'm feeling like roly-poly.
Yeah.
in a good
way.
Like
to say voluptuous in a very delightful, curvaceous way. And at the same time, we were talking about how chilly it gets and how that affects what foods we do choose. And especially in these, we're now coming out of the darkness, but really dressing for the weather. Like I've been re-exploring, hey, this jacket's just not working. Or I need warmer socks. Everyone get a nice pair of gloves. That's a big thing
for
me.
Yeah, I mean, I used to live in denial of the winter, but
yes.
As I've matured, realize it really warrants dressing warmly, and then you're not. And also, yeah, warming yourself up by food. Mm-hmm. I have to share with you one of my – to bring it back to lentils. Mm-hmm. I am just dying to share this recipe, though.
Excellent. Do it.
It's a super basic, simple lentil soup. You start out with a mirepoix, which is a, you know, onion and celery and carrots, and you chop it up super, super finely. You can put it in a food processor. You cook it up with some ghee. You can use golden lentils. Put in a chop, like a little bit of a spicy pepper. And if you want, you can incorporate all kinds of spices.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pop it in the blender once it's all cooked up. And you have this beautiful, rich, smooth soup.
All right.
This is the part that I was really excited about. And if you're a vegan, it won't work as well. But
It was already blown out of the water with the ghee.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean,
you can use coconut oil.
Fudge with some different kind of oil. But you take plain yogurt and you mix it with the curry powder and you put it on top and it's like ridiculous.
Oh my gosh. So good. I love it. So let's go back to the lentil and the cooking. So we have the diced very small onion, celery, carrots, spices, ghee or coconut oil. I'm really big into coconut oil right now. Because I personally love that flavor and the healthy oils that come from it. And so when you put in the lentils, how much lentils? How much water?
Picture
in your head, a coffee cup is a really good.
Okay, that is great. So say you put in a coffee cup of lentils. Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to put in three or four cups of water, vegetable broth, mm-hmm. stock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, we can find measurements.
Yeah, we can. It's true.
We can find measurements. They're not always perfect, but they're doing that. And then how long do you cook your lentils for? Because as I previously mentioned, lentils, I want to say off the top of my head, it's a good, if they're not pre-soaked, if you're not pre-soaking them, I'm throwing in 35 minutes. Googling right now.
Well, I was going to go to the exact recipe I could find. But yeah, certainly. I mean, it's all done by – cooking is so malleable. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think people forget that, if you have a little bit too much water, it's not
– It's not – yeah, just keep it uncovered and simmer it.
Exactly. I mean,
because it's a lovely flavoring that you're creating there. And that's how roux and vegetable stocks were always created. Oh, my gosh, can you believe 30 minutes is up? No. It flies by. Oh, my gosh. I'm always amazed by it. And again, oh, my gosh, DJ Muffin, you rock it. And I'm hoping that you'll come on back in 2 or 3 weeks and visit with us and share another recipe. As always, thank you to our underwriters and our listeners, both near and far. And please stay tuned for One Woman's Perspective with DJ Tara. This has been As the Worm Turns. And if you have any questions, additions, please feel free to check out our online happening.
All right. Brilliant. Thanks so much, Peggy Sue.
Thank you, and happy wintering and happy cooking. And thanks for dialing in to As the Worm Turns.
I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.